Galatians 5 verse 25. The Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that means you can have a life in the Spirit, but you are not walking in the Spirit. That is the bone of contention for many churchgoers today. Please, are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of them, they don't even believe. You know, there is a religious sect called Jehovah's Witness. They don't believe there is anything called the Spirit. And sometimes I wonder, what Bible are you reading? Paul went to preaching in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, and he asked some saints. He asked, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul now asked them, unto what then were you baptized? Meaning, if you have not heard there is any Holy Ghost, what did you now come into in Christianity? Please, are you good what I'm saying? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so today, I want to teach on what I've titled, This Same Spirit. You can put as a subtitle, Rekindling a Passion for the Holy Spirit. Rekindling a Passion for the Holy Spirit. And I will begin with two stories from the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1, it says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servants did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen, meaning to be servants. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Are you with me? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil, or to say, except a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art coming, thou shalt shut the door upon thee. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And then she did likewise. She came in, she shut the door. The Bible says she poured out. Say after me, she poured out. And then it became full. All the vessels became full. And then she told her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. The oil did what? So the oil stopped when the vessel stops. When there was no longer vessel, the oil stopped. Please follow me. I don't know what you think when you read this story. So that woman would have gone into debt, sold her sons, and probably even died. But the answer to what she needed was in her house. You know, you can go to heaven, eh? Somebody may die and reach heaven and tell God that, God, you know why my life was somehow, I did not have anybody to help me. And God said, you are lying. You would tell God, that thing failed because there was no way. And God will say, you are lying. And you'll be looking at God. God will be looking at you. God will be telling you, you had everything. You'll be telling God, I did not have anybody to help me. God will be saying, it's a lie. You had everything. The very thing you need to change your life completely can be in your house. And if you don't recognize it, you may die and claim you had nothing. Let me show you another one that will get you thinking. This one is very striking. Look at 2 Kings 13 from verse 14. 2 Kings 13 from verse 14. The Bible says, now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. Please. Amen. Look at verse 20. Jump to verse 20. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived. Hey! And stood up on his feet. You know, burial grounds in those days is not the same way we bury people right now. That's what they call sepulchres. It's like a cave which you carve out of a rock, or almost like a house where they keep dead bodies. So you can actually sit inside. You can actually stay inside. And so, this man, Elisha, was sick and he died. It was sickness that killed him. Are you with me? Sickness killed Elisha. But in his bones was the power to raise the dead. I don't know what you are thinking about when you read these stories, but it's making me to think. So Elisha will go and stand before God and and he will meet God and they will say, what brought you here this early? He says, sickness. Sickness? How come? And God will be saying, Elisha, look with me. Look at what your bones is doing. Elisha's bone. You know what it means for the bone to be there? That means the flesh had decayed, become rotten. But inside his bone was power. Men have a tendency to underestimate what they already have and overestimate what they don't have. People always believe that the grass is greener on the other side. They always believe that it is always better with something that they don't have. But let me tell you something. The grass is not greener on the other side all the time. The grass is greener when it is watered and nurtured. And in the same way, this is affects our walk with God. In our walk with God, people are always looking for what they think they don't have and despising what they already have. Like we saw in the second story, this prophet, he died of sickness, but in his bones was the power to raise the dead. It means that if you don't know what you have, it won't matter what you have. If you don't know what you have, it won't matter what you have. By the time we are done with this service, you will not be the same person again. But before I go on, see, let me say this here. If you are here and you have not believed in Jesus seriously, like you have not intentionally received his saving power, as this service is going on, begin to pray to him right now. Are you with me? Because what I want to talk about is the lot and portion for those who are believers. I want you to shout that glory. Amen. We began by saying that when you believe in Jesus, you have received the Holy Spirit. But I want to ask you, do you really know what it means to have the Holy Spirit? Do you really know? Do we really know? There are many terms people use to describe the Holy Spirit, but because of my engineering background, I like to call the Holy Ghost the actuator of God. The actuator. If you studied engineering a little bit, an actuator is a device in any system that makes every other device to work. So for instance, in a car, there is an actuator. No matter what you do, without the actuator, nothing will work. So, when you say something actually happened, what actually made this thing? That is the actuator. Are you getting me? That Holy Spirit is the actuator of God. So, if God has a plan in his mind, it's the Holy Ghost that makes it work. It's the Holy Ghost that, are you with me? That makes it to effectively happen. The Bible, Even a lazy commentary on the Bible will bring you to the point that the Bible is a compendium of the exploits of the spirits. The opening verses of the Bible tells us about the spirit. The Bible says, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, why was it important for the Spirit to move before God said? He's the actuator of God. Are you with me? You know, I tell people, I believe in confessions, but first of all, let the Holy Ghost move. Pray in the spirit, see there is a stirring and begin to talk. That means the creation account, the creation of the world, the engine behind it is the spirit. Please pay attention. So that you will not be like Elisha or like this woman. Pay attention. Years ago, I was planning a program. Years ago. 2016. And in preparation for the program, I went to see a man of God, a senior man of God in this country. And I asked him, "Sir, what is the secret of the supernatural?" He looked at me and said, "The spirit." I was like, "No, you cannot just say the spirit. Tell me what? Tell me there's a dimension." He just said, "The spirit, my son, the spirit." I said, "Okay." I said, "Just go and pray. Spend time with the Holy Ghost, and you will know what to do." And so, preparing for that program, I began to pray. I prayed. A day to the program, something happened. We went to check the venue. I was on my way to the venue, and I saw a blind man. And when I saw that man, there was a stirring within me. I felt something like somebody was pushing me. Go. I was like, how will I just pray for somebody on the road? But this thing was pushing me. How will I just pray for somebody on the road? So I said, okay, let's not be like I did not obey. So I went and met the man, and I said, "Hello, sir." And they work with somebody, the guide, his tour guide. It was now by give us something. And I felt like that thing that was pushing me was saying, "Shout and rebuke the spirit of blindness." I was like, I have not even started. People have brought their phones. People with phones everywhere were looking at me. I was like, oh God. So I didn't want to shout. I wanted to maintain my steez. So I said, "God, heal him. Let him be healed. Let him be healed in Jesus' name. Amen." This guy was not healed. I prayed again. He was not healed. I quietly carried myself and left. I went back home. But when I went back home, I discovered it was as though there were like bags of cement on my chest. My chest was so heavy. I said, "God, what does this mean?" I prayed and prayed and prayed. What does this mean? Around midnight, I heard a voice tell me, "You are still with his healing." Am I talking to spiritual people? He said, "You are still with his healing. That's why your chest is like that. You are still with his healing." He says, now this was God teaching me. I'm talking about the spirit here. Please, are you with me? Yes, sir. If you don't learn what I'm showing you, there are many things in your Christian faith. No man can teach you. You have to catch it from the spirit. And so, the next day, I think God allowed me to experience that because of what he wanted to do. The next day, I was preaching. At the program, I was preaching. After a while, I felt like somebody hit me. I could feel it physically. So I opened my eyes and there was nobody. I kept on preaching again. That person hit me again. I said, okay, I get the point. God wants to move. This is my preaching. God wants to heal somebody. So I said, "If you are sick here, raise your hands." This time around, I didn't wait for the voice to tell me to shout. I started shouting, "You demon of sickness, leave them alone. When I was done, I didn't call for testimonies intentionally. Because my steeds will not be. Nobody will disturb my fresh style. Not the one you say there's somebody here and everything. Where's the somebody here? So I finished doing the prayer and I was saying, "So we thank God for a great meeting." Somebody raised his hand. She just shouted back, "I have a testimony." I said, "Sister, come out." Said, "I came in, I could not hear in this ear." I said, "Eh? Oh." I said, "Okay, I now understand what that man was telling me. The spirits. The spirits." The Bible is a compendium of the accounts of the spirits.
you ever thought about the flood of Noah? How that rain came from heaven? The Bible says the fountains of the great deep were broken up. Water came from beneath. Water came from above. Water came from everywhere. Who made that happen? The spirits. The actuator. When the Bible says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his field, the Lord of the harvest is the spirit, him and his mighty angels. Think about how Joseph interpreted dreams. You cannot fake that. That has to be the spirit. Please, are you with me? Think about how Joshua made the sun to stand still. Whether you agree with it, whether it makes sense to your scientific idiosyncrasies. There was light beyond its time by the same spirit, by this spirit. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? Think about Abraham. God carries you and takes you to a land where he has never shown you before, a land you've not seen before, a land you've not heard before, supernaturally guided by the Spirit. Think about Moses. You know, Moses only, I don't have to rush it. I can't rush it. Can you picture a stick change into a serpent and change back to a stick? Can you picture that? Just imagine you came out of this service and you came outside and saw frogs take over the entire sky. And they tell you a man lifted a stick and made that happen. Oh my God. Just imagine. They tell you somebody turned water to blood. Water to wine can be relatable. Water to blood. Blood. Please, are you with me? Yes, Moses' own is a class. Then you now divide the Red Sea. If you divide the swimming pool today, tomorrow you're on news. If you divide the swimming pool today, tomorrow they will arrest you and keep you somewhere and say, start dividing things for us, sir. Oh, you don't know how much this generation is in need of the move of God. Our last crusade, after praying for the deaf and dumb, as she girl spoke, they brought a mad person to me. straight up. And this time around, I had learned. So while we were videoing the camera, I don't send you. I've learned. Now, just imagine, they asked you, you know what? Somebody told you that there is a power that can make food fall from heaven like it did in the days of Moses. There is a power. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
There is a power that can control times and seasons. Just bring any amount. How much will you bring? That can make food fall from heaven. How much will you bring? Just think about it. Now, the Bible is telling you that this same spirit is in you because you believe in Jesus. Maybe we have despised the Holy Ghost without knowing. That's what I'm trying to show you. Maybe you have despised this Holy Ghost without knowing. Maybe. Maybe we have trivialized the Holy Spirit. That's why, in our day, people find it difficult to accept supernatural things. They say, be lying, oh, everything, you did lamba. God. There are some things, if I tell you, you will tell me, before I'm done, you may stone me. But they can easily believe that somebody will do ritual and it will work. Are you seeing what the devil is doing? Please pay attention. Are you with me? Remember when Mary was visited by the angel
An angel told her she will give birth to Jesus, a child without natural influence, without a man. And Mary asked the angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? For the angel, it was not a big deal. It was not a surprise. This is how we roll normally. He said, okay, let me explain how it will work. He says, you conceive and have a child without a man. He said, sir, wait first. How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Then the angel answered, the power of the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. Hey. The power of the Holy Ghost. You may be asking, how shall these things be, seeing I don't have the money? How shall these things be? I don't know anybody in Abuja. How shall these things be? I don't know any top person in Nigeria. How? Hey, God. I've seen this in a measure. I have seen this in a measure. I have discovered, see, the only vote you need to be elected into your destiny is the vote of God. See, I've seen this in a measure. There was a day I got a call. I was not even in our Port Harcourt church. They called me and said, Pastor, there is a problem. There is a man that stayed on that street. He came by 12 midnight and began to jam the gate. Bam, 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 bam. He says, I want to pay tithe to this church now. you will hear things. There are things I will say. Let me stop. He said, I want to give now. Now. I want to give now. People have to wake up and say, let's go and find church account and give. It is you that is cheating yourself that does not believe in the supernatural. Even people in darkness, they believe more. Tell your neighbor, wake up. How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? How shall these things be? I don't have any connection. How shall these things be? Kaya. It doesn't matter where you are. How shall this thing? Okay, Pastor, see, all this talk you're talking is not my business. I want to marry. I want to marry. Eh? How shall these things be? If I wanted to talk about testimonies, I will talk. We're done with this service, second service, if we do third service, fourth service. For the fact you have not seen it does not mean it's not real. Oh, yes. For the fact you have not experienced it. See, I pray for you that from today you will have just one encounter. Amen. That will multiply to many others. Amen. Ah! Let me go on. And that was how Mary conceived. Now, this same spirit was responsible for all the miracles that Jesus did. And if not, even after he died, this same spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Now, this same spirit has been given to you that believe in him. So what will you do with this spirit? You know, sometimes people are always looking for impartations. Listen to what I'm saying. Impartations are important. Eh? Because in the story we read, it was the prophet that told the lady, there is an oil in your house. Are you getting me? Impartations are important. They have their place. But have you paid attention to the Holy Ghost that you have first? Have you paid attention? Have you paid attention? You know, familiarity will make you despise what you should cherish. That is why, oh my God, that is why when you tell people, I want to pray about it, they're like, is it only prayer? What are you saying? You know what prayer is? If you know what prayer has done, even in history, if you know what prayer has done, prayer is the most powerful force in the universe. Well, let's move on. How can we have this spirit and claim to be helpless? How? This same spirit, how can you have it and claim to be helpless? How? I know some of you are looking at me. I'm trying to stir up something within you. I'm trying to stir up something within you. You know, there are some things in the Bible that gets me even thinking. Beyond even the miracles and the signs and wonders, there are some things that, even if you didn't want to agree, this one. For instance, when Moses was put in the river, when he was a baby and he was put in the river,
Did you know that the mother of Moses did not plan for that baby to get to Pharaoh's house? It was just, let me put my baby in a basket and put him on the river instead of just handing him over to the Egyptians to kill him. It's just like the Holy Ghost telling you, do this thing. You can't see, it doesn't make natural sense. There is no natural sense in what you did, though. Because actually, if you are putting him in the river, a shark may eat it. A crocodile may eat it. Then, that basket was divinely guided. Supernaturally moved. When he wants to go like this, the spirit will move it like. Maybe that proposal, if you can just add the Holy Ghost on top, it will go to the right tables. And then Pharaoh's daughter came out to bait and saw the basket. She knew it was a Hebrew. Why didn't she kill it? The Bible says, she picked up the child and said, I know this is one of the Hebrew children. Bring a Hebrew woman for me. And they brought his mother. And they were paying the mother for taking care of her child. See, you are cheating yourself without the Holy Ghost too. You are cheating yourself. You are cheating yourself. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God is still moving even in our day. Doing the unimaginable. Doing the impossible. Doing the unthinkable. Are you with me? And do you notice, you know, when I think about this, do you notice that the only constant in all these things I've been saying is the Spirit? Different times, different seasons, different generations, different men, same Spirit. This same Spirit, the same Spirit in creation, the same Spirit in Daniel. Spirit, are you with me? In Joshua, the same Spirit in Joseph. You know, Daniel's own case, how can a king tell you? You know, they'll say, tell me your dream, I'll interpret. He said, no, you go and find the dream. You will find the dream, then find the interpretation. I can relate to, I can so relate, where you are somewhere and the Holy Ghost tells you about something that nobody can think of. You know, I've shared that story here before. I was working in the oil field as a data engineer, well testing, oil and gas well testing. And I was the incoming engineer. I had been the choke manifold engineer. Now I was moving into the data engineering part. Just as I was about to fix the flow meter, the Lord told me there, right there, he said, they have set you up. Recalibrate your flow meter now. I said, who will set me up? How can anybody try to set me? I'm everybody's friend. With this job, how can? But the Spirit said, check it. So I checked it. They had changed the flow meter. They had planned for me. They did the crew change and everything. And when I was changing it, the supervisor said, David, what are you doing? Are you okay? I said, sir, I'm just calibrating. He said, are you mad? Who gave you the right to calibrate the flow meter? I said, sir, I'm calibrating the flow meter. They are pass flow. All the engineers came out watching. Okay, it's correct. It's correct. The flow is correct. 1 week later, my colleague in the office started calling us that were in the field. Say, any problem? By now, we're supposed to have heard a problem. Say, you dey pray for that kind of problem. He called again after 4 days. Any problem? He said, then why that was happening? Somebody else that he has beef with said, we go report him to Oga. So they went and reported to the boss that this our engineer has been calling that there should be a problem. He said, are you sure he is not planning something? Our boss said, how can he plan that? How can he do that? You know what? Call David. Let's ask him if he tampered with the flow meter for the job to go on correctly. So they called me. God. My boss called me and said, David, right now you are going to be
onto a major important call. The MD of this company is here. The MD of this company is here. He's on loudspeaker. Please mindful of what you say. We want to ask you clearly. Did you recalibrate your flow meter before using it? I said, yes, sir. Did you correct everything? Yes, sir. What was the details in it? I told him. He said, thank you. By the time I resume office the next day, the guy that planned me, he just looked at me and said, man of God, he stood up like this. Shook me with two hands. Man of God, how you take no that kind thing? How you take no? this same spirit. Oh, okay, because I'm very short and down to earth. You think we are all the same? From that day till today, everybody in that office has at that time, I'm still their pastors. Okay, pastor, say that thing I saw, man. I know you are a man or God. Don't cheat yourself. And maybe you are hearing what I'm saying and you are thinking, okay, it's for people like you, the men of God, or the special people. There is a resounding statement in the Bible that you must hear. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. The Bible says, God is no respecter of persons. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. Maybe you see a man of God, a great man of God. You know, I was talking to one of us. He was talking about Bishop Oedipo. He said, if the Holy Ghost in Bishop Oedipo enter me, I said, you have it. you need to understand. You have it. God is no respecter of persons. It means anything you see God do through one person, it's actually your opportunity. It's a proof of what you can also do. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If you see Jesus walk on water, he will not say, oh, so I walk on water. You want to walk on water too? So we are now mates, Abby. Oh, no. Jesus did not even wait for the record to settle. He says, if it is you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. That means anything you see in the Bible is your invitation to come. Are you getting me? It's your invitation to come. So, the Holy Ghost in all these men we've talked about in the Bible is the same Holy Ghost with you. Same spirit. Say after me, same spirit.
Same spirit.
Say it again. Same spirit.
Same spirit.
Now, you know, there's a verse of the Bible I saw. A text of the Bible that made a different sense to me recently. You know, somebody can be hearing what I'm saying and yeah, oh, pastor, you know, mine is for business breakthrough. All the things you are saying, you are too spiritual. Let me show you a text of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God. So wait, it doesn't matter how you need the application. That same spirit is all purpose. My own is fruit of the womb. My own is business. My own is, I'm into artificial intelligence. My own is into, I'm into ministry. The same spirit.
Yes,
he, are you with me?
Yes,
he's an all-purpose specialist. He deals in everything.
Yes,
pastor, I want clients. I want clients. This same spirit. Say it again, same spirit. No wonder the Bible says Jesus the same. Yesterday. Today and forever. So what must we do? Number one, you must acknowledge that the Holy Ghost in you is God's best. Say after me, I've received God's best. Acts chapter 1 verse 4 says, the Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father. Jesus told them, go and wait and tarry for the Holy Ghost. That the promise of the Father, do you know what it means when the Bible uses that definite article? That the Holy Ghost is the promise, not a promise. Not one of the promises. Not some of the promises. He says the Holy Spirit is the promise. That means all God has been trying to do from the very beginning is to give you the Spirit. Is to give you the Spirit. Say after me, I have received God's best. By the Holy Ghost in me. I have received God's best. See, this is the beginning. You must acknowledge that you have something. You have to acknowledge it. Look at the way the disciples were talking. He says, such as we have. He says, look on us, such as we have. Listen, if you want to flow in the miraculous, you must accept you have it first.
That is how, oh God. Say after me, I have the Holy Ghost. You know, last 2 weeks, when we were talking about overcoming temptation, where we said, your hands, your bodies are the members of Christ. Do you know what that means? He's telling you that that hand that is showing, it is the hand of Christ. Ah, my God. Your bodies are the members of Christ. What if you walked with the consciousness that as I'm praying for this person, this is the hand of Christ? What if you walked with the consciousness that as you wake up every morning, this is Christ in a suit walking out? So after me, I have the Holy Ghost. I have received God's best. I have the Holy Ghost. I have received God's best. Glory! Say after me, I have the Holy Ghost. I have received God's best. I have the Holy Ghost. I have received God's best. Pray in the Spirit 1 minute. Sheka paragado seketelia. Sekete pelega sheketelia. Raka palagado seketelia. Zekete pelega sheketelia. Sekete pelendege de pelega sheketelia. In the name of Jesus, I have the Holy Ghost. I have received God's best. I will always win. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let me tell you something. Like I said in Port Harcourt last week, in the world, you have to wait for something to happen to declare that you are victorious. But for us, it is the way we are born. Yes, sir. Because of the Spirit, it is the way we are born. Whatever is born of God overcometh. And this is the victory. See, it's a mindset to have, oh, that no matter what happens, I cannot be stranded. It's not possible. It's not possible. Just imagine. Think about Peter. They arrested Peter in Acts chapter 12 and put him in prison. And they told him, in 1 week's time, you are going to die. They will bring you out and kill you. They gathered Peter with 16 soldiers, 4 quaternions of soldiers. Imagine when Peter's shoes, what will you do? Is that not the point to say, it's over? This one has finished. Don't worry. Roman killers, under the orders of Herod. See, when you study the situations people went through in the Bible and overcame by the Spirit, your own is nothing. I'm telling you, your own. It will give you faith that thing you are trusting God for is too small. It's too small. They told Peter, you are not coming out from this place. But the Bible says prayer was made. People began to engage. Prayer was made. And when there was no other way to make it happen, the angel of God came in. They did not try to break the chains. The chains fell down. The iron bars fell down. And he said, keep on following. And as they were going, the gate was opening of their own accord. It was opening like that. The next thing I want to tell you is, you must make up your mind. You must determine that you will engage the Holy Ghost. You must determine that in your life. You see, in this life, say after me, in this life, I will know the Holy Ghost. I will engage the Holy Spirit. You know why I say you must determine? Because your natural mind will not think about the Holy Ghost first. Your natural mind will think about your strength. Your natural mind will think about your connection. Your natural mind will not take prayer. See, the reason why people don't take prayer serious is because they don't know how serious it is. What will you do to get the power that can change everything? What will you do to engage a power that can change anything? What will you do? No wonder Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. He says, I put you in remembrance to stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God, which is indeed by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love. Hey, he has given you the spirit of love, of power. Hey, kapataya. That means if he's telling you to stir up the gift of God, there is power inside of you that you can stir up. Stir up something. And of a sound mind, of power, of love, and of a sound mind.
Hiya.
So my mind is not confused. I am not overwhelmed with depression. I have a sound mind. No matter how bad things are, I will not cave in. I have a sound mind. Are you what I'm saying? Are you listening to me? Before the devil wants to overwhelm me with thoughts of failure, thoughts of depression, thoughts that there is no hope for you, no, I have a sound mind. So I will stir up something from my spirit. Stir up. Lord, how will I move this business forward? How will I move this business? Who will I talk to? No, I have a sound mind. Oh, yes, I have a sound mind. And you are praying in tongues, stirring up something. I have a sound mind by the Holy Ghost. And then you run into somewhere in the park and say, well, what do you do? Give me your card. You have a sound mind. Hey, engage. Do like the woman. She took the oil and locked the door. She brought the empty vessels and began to pour. Oh, the business is empty. Pour inside. Pour. Ayadabaya. Your house looks empty. Pour. Close the door. Take the oil and begin to pour. Higher. Jump on your feet. Kepereketeliaka. Asupelete. Elembarato kopeleketelia. Even if you cannot pray in tongues, lift up your hands and say, oh God, Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost, I depend on you. Jesus, by your spirit, the same spirit, if the same spirit that raised him from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. It will quicken your mortal body.